Are you familiar with the work of Dr. Judy Wood?
I'm not familiar with it, no. I mean, I've heard of her and I've seen some, but I'm not familiar.
Okay. I just think that's a venue worth looking into.
Yeah, she has a very different, a little bit different take, definitely. She talks about...
What does she say?
EM weapons.
She talks about molecular disassociation,
yeah,
and that there are multiple layers to this operation, and that absolutely there was thermite used so that, you know, you can say, hey, that's what brought down the building, but then there's the other layer, the other technology to ensure that the building was done. I mean, she's got videos on her site of 880-foot steel towers left over from the initial collapse, and within like 14 seconds, they just blow away as dust. I mean,
wow.
Tons upon
mm-hmm.
tons of,
yeah, the
of standing steel.
The girders.
They just turn to dust and go
yeah.
away.
Right.
And they curl. She has them in odd. I mean, she's got pictures of them where they're actually like ribboned. They're actually
right.
ribboned.
And so you know, where I've come with this 9/11 event is that, depending on how far down the rabbit hole you want to go and stop, you can be comfortable. That there's fine. It was the planes, you know. It was the 19 Arab terrorists. I think 11 of which are still alive, and you know, and it was them. Or you can go to, you know, it was thermite. Or you can go down to the EM aspect of this. And so wherever you want to settle on,
oh, there's
the conspiracy
one more
aspect,
aliens.
Because there are Japanese sites that have UFOs flying
yes,
around
they do.
The thing.
You know? I know.
And
that's why I brought it up.
Whether they were CIA or NSA or Air
yeah,
Force or
go.
Alien, who the heck knows? But they were there. You know, so, I mean, it was a day. It was an amazing day in Manhattan.
One I hope we never repeat.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, I'm a big believer we need to investigate. Because I hear all the different, you know, theories and opinions, and I'm open to just about anything now because I realized I wasn't for so many years. But that guy I talked about earlier, the intelligence.
Oh, right. That's where we were going.
he's cleared me up on so many things. And the way I met him was through Colonel George Nelson, who was a retired aircraft crash investigator, and I have him quoted on our website and stuff, and he's just been a huge source of knowledge for me too on the way an investigation should happen as far as the airplanes are concerned and all that. But he introduced me to this intelligence officer, and this man is just brilliant. And when we were talking about, you know, will there be an investigation, he's very optimistic. He's more optimistic now than he ever has been. And he said, but what the thing is, and he was in human intel and counter intel, so he used to do the job that he's talking about, and then he's able to kind of steer me through, like, what is information you can believe, what is information you can't. And he explains it pretty clearly, much more clearly than I can. But basically, what these people who are responsible for 9/11 did, whether, you know, we don't know for sure who they were, only the ones who did it know until we investigate this thing. But what the way they operate is they put out tons of disinformation. And he said that's any operation that's organized like this, you put out tons of disinformation so that everyone runs down different paths, so
yeah,
that nobody
yeah.
can put it all together. So, you know, a lot of these wacko theories that, you know, that people go, oh, that's just so crazy, outlandish, there's no way that could have happened, are started by them. And then there's people out there that will grab onto those and go, oh, yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
So I don't know which ones those are. And either, I mean, he has his ideas, and you know, but the thing is, we don't know until we investigate. So the big thing I'm pushing is we just need an investigation that follows national standards, and then, you know, with a truly independent board, and let them figure it out, you know, or, you know, not just them, but we'll be directly involved and, you know, figure it out that way, not just, you know, we're all speculating, and that's what they want, because it divides us.
Well, yeah, there's nothing unified about the inquiry. And if everybody's, you know, running down all of these different channels, then we don't come to some unified discussion about 9/11. Mm-hmm. And God forbid, you know, we come to a conclusion and prevent another
out.
One. Yeah,
yeah.
Amazing. I want you to kind of pick up with Colonel George Nelson, but with the nanothermite, because we've talked about Dr. Judy Wood
mm-hmm.
and her
yeah.
molecular disassociation,
right.
and I wonder if that's not how the thermite ended up in nanonized form, or if there's a chemical...
Yeah,
it just becomes dust. I mean,
except they found some unexploded. So yeah.
Right, they did find some unexploded, and it's manufactured that way, and it's smaller than the size of a human hair. So it's very technical, and it's there's only a few labs in the world that can produce something like that. So it's not, okay, like she said, it was unexploded, so it wasn't, this is the way it's manufactured. So, and, but does that mean there weren't other things used? Absolutely not. I mean, a lot of times, I was there when they brought the Kingdome down, there was a lot of, you know, they take out columns, they do all kinds of things. It's called softening the building. There's all kinds of things you do before you bring a building down. So is there other technologies that could have been used? Absolutely. I don't know. And until we do that investigation, I just don't. I mean, I can speculate, but...
What investigation? Oh, come on now. What do you think? There's no money for that.
Have they ever?
It's in the past.
Have they ever really investigated and gone into the cores of the buildings?
The cores were gone, basically. Everything
No, they destroyed
all the evidence. Like on Tower 7 is a critical one because it wasn't struck by an aircraft, and NIST itself admits now it wasn't the falling debris. The falling debris did not cause significant damage, to cause the collapse. So it's all from the fires, and the fires, and it used to be the rumor that Popular Mechanics put out there that it was the diesel fuel store, the diesel fuel tanks in there.
Remember that one.
And they recovered almost all the diesel fuel, so you can't even attribute it to that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it really was just office materials that were burning. And so that's one that you really need to look at because they just, you know, that's the critical piece right there. Because if a building could come down from, you know, routine office fires, we need to find out how. Because, you know,
You know those manila folders are dangerous.
Oh, they're
exactly.
This may be the contents.
they burn hot. Well, and
exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody had
degrees.
I think it was John Lear that we had on,
yes.
And he was talking about the command and control center for this whole 9/11 op being in WT7, and they had to pull it to cover their butts, you know. And there are so many SEC investigations,
right?
That again. Oops, sorry, paperwork's gone. You know,
there's a lot of convenient tragedies that day,
weren't there? Though, I mean, they cleaned up some ugly messes. That
they did, gone with the $2.3 trillion.
Yes,
just so happened.
Well, I mean, Donald Rumsfeld knows when to hold a press conference.
Right,
the day before his office gets bombed.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so we can only speculate about what you could do in Black Ops with $2.3 million.
Trillion.
Yeah. I mean, you could do a lot.
Yes, you could.
You know, yeah.
I can make sure there was an investigation with that kind of money.
With the interest off that kind of money, with what they're paying now.
Right.
Well, look, if you wouldn't mind, would you go back to Colonel George Nelson and kind of how he guided through understanding this op?
Well, he was actually Captain Gregory Zeigler, is the intelligence guy. Colonel George Nelson was an Air Force crash investigator. And so when I talked to Nelson, I've interviewed him now, and actually I'll have that interview up on my website soon. But I asked him when he first knew, you know, because I just felt dumb, honestly, after you see it the way I do now, it's like, how did I not see this before? Yeah. But I asked him, I said, when did you first know? And he said, I knew, I was suspicious on day one, and I knew almost for sure by day three. And I was like, how is that? And he said, because he's reviewed enough crash investigations and been on enough. He's like, everything they were doing was just causing massive alarm bells for him to ring. He said, you remember the Pentagon, and when those plane, you know, when that plane went in there, he said, a crash investigation, the first thing you're supposed to do is secure the scene, you know, as the investigator. The rescue operation has something different, but the investigator's first thing is secure the scene. So you have to put up your ropes, you get your cops out there. He says, you know, with the military like that, you know, that would be a military operation with the Pentagon. You get your military police out there, you shut everything down, and you protect everything. And he said, so in the investigation, he said, the military is even more careful than the NTSB is in their investigations. And he said, you know, we put flags on every single piece, you know, and we've all seen those commercial airliners that are recreated. They put them in the hangar. Every piece is, you know, like an old dinosaur they put back together. And so there's nothing. They haven't released any they haven't released any aircraft parts with serial numbers on them from any four crash sites. So he said when he saw the flags, or when he saw there was no flags, but he said, not only did I see that, he said, I saw a team of like 20 guys walking, you know, side by side, up materials, and they're basically cleaning, like he said, they're cleaning up the yard.
Clean up.
Like, what are we doing here? And then, you know, he was saying it was more important to clean up the yard than it was to protect a scene. He goes, that really got him suspicious. But the thing that finished it was, he said on day three, they had all the terrorists identified, which aircraft they were on, you know, where they, you know, everything about them. And he said, that is impossible. He said, that's weeks worth of investigating to get to that point at the minimum on one crash site. Because he said, you saw the destruction and they pulled. And if you go to, you know, the government's own websites, they've got photo IDs. They have the cloth bandanas that don't even have a burn mark on them. They've got passports. They have everything. They're not even. I mean, I've seen bodies burn beyond recognition, but I've never seen their clothing unburned. You know, you can't have clothing unburned. You can't be wearing unburned clothing and be burned beyond recognition. It doesn't work that way.
You can't make this stuff up. It's just so ridiculous.
It's insane.
It is. It's totally ludicrous.
I mean, just the whole idea. Because I remember the video and the photographs of the military guys out in front of the Pentagon.
Oh,
I remember them sweeping the grass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were cleaning the crime scene rather than protecting and documenting
it.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, well, that means, and what is incredible to me is that the FBI had visited something like 83 locations where they knew ahead of time would have had or could have had surveillance of that face of the Pentagon, so they could have pictured or imaged whatever hit the Pentagon. And boom, they're gone. I mean, that video is, I mean, these guys at gas stations and hotels are like, you're here for what? I mean, they knew where these cameras were instantly. Okay. It's ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous.
Hidden in plain sight.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody, well, nothing from a 757 has been produced from the Pentagon. Nothing even close.
Nothing from any four planes has been produced that has that has a serial number on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Nelson said, Colonel Nelson said, he's never, ever even heard of a crash site like that. He goes, even in the ocean, and the only time we can't recover something like that is when it's so deep in the ocean that we don't have any submersibles that can even go that deep. He said, when it's on land and you find the crash site, you always get a piece with a serial number on it.
You know, there's, I think I honestly, Eric, came across your site when I was from an aircraft site, somebody who was doing some logs on these four planes that were supposed to have been participated in this 9/11 operation. And some of the N numbers haven't changed, and some of the planes are honestly still in operation. They're still flying. They're still working for United and American.
I have heard that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
These planes are still flying.
Oh, that's very interesting. What happened to the people?
That's a really good question.
I've always wondered, what did they do with those people?
Yeah, I
that's a good question. If you go to Operation Northwoods, you know, again, that's speculation, and I don't really go there, but if you look at history, you know, and as an investigator, you should look at history and past examples. And have you guys...
Well, why don't we continue this thought after the break? America Now will continue.
Been talking Northwoods, sir. About to jump in and talk about Northwoods with Eric Lawyer, our guest tonight on America Now. His website, firefightersfor911truth.org. I think 9 years after this, or 8 years after this, I mean, we could have police for 9/11 truth, air pilots for 9/11 truth, and lawyers for 9/11 truth, and patriots for 9/11 truth.
Everybody for 9/11 truth.
The movement is growing, and
it is.
It really is, and it feels really good to be behind a cause where you know there's truth on your side, you know, and you're not pushing up against some nebulous possibility, and it feels good to be on the right side of an issue. So before we went to the break, you were starting to talk about Northwoods because we were speculating about where are the people
right.
from the planes. If these planes didn't hit the buildings, because there's a lot of people in New York City that said, I've never seen a plane like that. That's not an American Airlines plane. You know, they didn't have windows. They were pseudo planes. And John Lear thinks they were just holographs.
He thinks they're holographs. And I've heard Jim Mars, if you know who Jim Mars is, the author, talks about missile, at least into the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Right.
Or an A6.
Right. And, you know, there's all kinds of, like I said, there's all kinds of theories. And but anyways, on Operation Northwoods, the only thing I was bringing up was the, you know, where do the people go? I have no idea, you know, if there even were, like you said, the people. But Operation Northwoods, when they talked about blowing the plane up, you know, faking it and making it look like a Cuban MiG had shot it down, they were going to use, I mean, they talked very clearly in that, and that's the declassified operation. You know, they talked very clearly they were going to use a drone, and they were going to have carefully prepared aliases for all the passengers. So, you know, that can be done. I don't, you know, who knows if it was or not. Or there's so many things that we're speculating on, and it's just we need to get the investigation, and that's where people need to put their pressure.
Something else is curious about those flights and the manifest is that, you know, for one of the first flights out of an airport in the morning, and I think all of them were cross-country flights, so they were loaded to the gills with fuel, is that they had so few passengers on board. You know, 45,
right.
36.
Yeah.
I mean, these planes were almost flying empty.
Right.
And that just seems
not right.
Not right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the cell phones, you know, everything. I have
friends
that are better.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you use the cell phones?
It's very hard today to
do
it. And back then, you know, you've been carrying a conversation at 20 plus thousand or 30,000 feet.
Especially long-term
conversations. The technology didn't exist until 2006 to do use cell phone flights.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Right.
So that part of the story didn't come out until much later on in the day. And then I think the story, if I'm recalling this right, changed a couple of times in testimony that the person had used a credit card and it was a backseat telephone.
Right.
And then she dialed collect.
Right.
And, you know, and it's like, let's roll. That whole Flight 93 saga
thing,
that was a complete construction from somebody's imagination.
Right.
Made for an interesting movie.
Well,
it did. And I ate it up before I believed the way I do now.
Yeah.
Well, so where would an investigation begin with where we are this year, this far down the road? Does it have to start?
Have you heard of that?
No, you got me on that one.
New York CAN is actually, let me pull up exactly what it stands for. It's incredible what they've New York City for Coalition New York City Coalition for Accountability Now, and it's been incredible what they put together. They, if you go to their website and read their petition, I've been so hopeful with what they've been doing, and I was out there in New York this past 9/11 speaking myself, and I learned more about where they're at, and what's sad is they just got shut down again. But basically what they've done is they put together a petition, they have an independent investigation or an independent committee that will head the investigation, they have private money already there that's willing to fund this thing up into the millions. They've got the people for the committee already there, one includes a NASA astronaut, there's a couple actors on it, and then there's a bunch of scientists. It's a whole big panel of people. So they have all the players ready to go, and nobody can have government contracts. No funding can come from the government. I mean, they've got it all outlined. It's incredible what they put together. They had to get enough signatures to get it on the ballot. Well, they shattered the amount of signatures they needed to get it on the ballot. But then the state or the city came in and said, with their lawyers, and said, nope, these signatures are invalid. They went back and they went through all the signatures and they validated them. And then the city admitted, okay, they are, you know, the majority. You do have enough to make it go further. Now they've come back and said that there's legal technicalities with this. It's basically, you know, they can't legally do this, so they're shutting it down and not even going to put it to ballot. So they just keep throwing in monkey wrenches into the, you know, legal process, trying to get them shut down, which is obvious. You know, there's much more powerful people that don't want this to happen. So they're in an appeals process right now with that. And so that is, I think, the biggest hope going right now for a new investigation, because if the New York City, if they vote on this and pass it, then, you know, this committee would be funded. They'd have subpoena and arrest powers and everything. So it's pretty powerful.
Fantastic.
And that's really what needs to happen. You know, if we're really going to affect change in this country, it has to be grassroots.
Exactly.
It has to come from the people. And I think we put these politicians up there and expect them to make the changes. And I just don't see that it's going to come from them. It's going to have to come from us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's nice to see these being true patriots. Because
it's the only way we take this country back.
Right.
Yeah.
People have to get involved, or we're going to lose it for sure.
That's right.
You know, and I think that's really been the whole plan and whole process, is because we've been too free. We've had too many liberties, and by God, that First Amendment is just a killer for the powers that be. These poor people just can't be allowed to have, you know, speak freely. We just we will not allow that, damn it.
Well, all you need for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. But it's time for all of us to stand up and do something.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the flu?
Yeah, can we get you to talk about that?
You know, I came across a YouTube video today. This Washington Redskins cheerleader who just took the regular flu.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Vaccination. Neurological.
And she's just, she's shut down.
Oh, right.
You know, and I, thank God, you know, being born in the 60s, and I've got my marks from my shots, mm-hmm. you know, and, yep. And I came through it. But, right.
Things are changing now, too.
They are. They really are.
And that's what, do you want me to talk about it for a second and where I'm at? I got to be careful what I say because I still could potentially be suspended for what I did. But
you do what you can.
Legally, I cannot be suspended. I mean, they will lose in court if it comes to that. It's all based on a motion.
Well, we don't want you to have to go through that process.
Well, no, I've already been there. I spent several hours, or actually 2 hours, down in the chief's office yesterday. So what happened in a nutshell was Captain Zeigler, the intelligence agent I told you about, had shared with me months and months ago, way before any swine flu or anything like that. I asked him, like, do you see another 9/11 happening or something like that? He said, no, what I see happening is a pandemic being released. And he explained it all and how it would go down. And so many things he has told me have come to fruition, and I shared them with many people in the department. And this was so huge. He had so much evidence of how it was going to go down that I decided to let the chief know months ago that, you know, way before it even happened, back in December of last year, that, hey, this looks potential. This, you know, and if this happens, all I'm asking, I'm not asking you to believe me, I'm not asking you to do anything. All I'm asking is if they come to you and they tell you that we need to get vaccinated, all I am asking is that you give us the choice and you give guys both sides of the story, you know, to give them information on the risk of this too. Don't just tell us to get vaccinated. Well, the department policy now is where it's not mandatory. He did give us the choice, but the department policy is where they put out a video and they've just released information from the pharmaceutical standpoint, basically. They didn't, mm-hmm. they're not talking about any of the risk, and there's one serious risk that even if you don't even believe any of this conspiracy stuff, the one serious risk that I was pointing out to everybody was on the flu mist product insert. So they're starting us with a nasal spray for the vaccine. Right. They were going to send us in, you know, have these everyone who would volunteer for it get vaccinated, and then we'd go right back to duty. So on the, right. their product insert, it says anyone who receives this is supposed to stay away from immunological compromised patient or people for 21 days.
Right.
Well, almost all the patients we see are immunocompromised. So it's like, mm-hmm. wait a second, you're giving this to us, and then you're sending us into homes, the sick people, immediately. Yeah. This is a public health emergency, not the vaccine. Yes. So, you know, so I issued basically a letter. I didn't tell people what to do. I just said, here's something else to think about. I gave them a bunch of mainstream articles, and I gave them the product insert. And I passed it out to all the stations across the city. Within hours, they were all immediately recalled. They were ordered recalled. They found out, you know, I even gave them to the chief. I gave them to everyone in the command structure on the swine flu, and we have several people.
All right, Eric, we'll take our top of the hour break, but hey, nothing like getting a swine flu miss shot and having 21 days off. All right, America now returns.